Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Sermon MP3 from Lawson Heights Alliance Church. This is August 22nd, 2021, and we are continuing our series called A Skeptical Desire. It's all about spiritual gifts, eagerly desiring them, and figuring them out for yourself. Hey, this Sunday, we're going to be looking at the title, Every Spiritual Gift is for Reaching the Unsaved. It's a unique passage. God bless you as you listen. This last week, last Sunday, I encouraged you to do an assignment. The assignment was to read Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2 every day of the week, to get yourself a notebook or a pad of paper or something, and as you're reading through, to record how the different mercies of God stood out to you. The mercies that God had given you, how those had stood out to you. And I encourage you to read those with your spouse, to talk about the mercies of God together, to discuss how they affect you together if you're married. And after reading and writing, I also encourage you to pray about it. Now, maybe some of you, like me, had a week like you haven't had for a long time, and that assignment just kind of escaped you. We started off on Saturday night. Becca's water broke, went into the hospital. And then through the night, we're waiting patiently, not a lot of sleep. Thank God for energy drinks. And then the next day, I hear word first thing in the morning that my aunt passes away. And so it's my mom's sister, closest friend that my mom has. And then we kind of went on with our day. And later on in the afternoon, 2:57 in the afternoon, Becca gives birth to, finally brings me a grandbaby. A little girl, yes. Amelia Ray, and she was 7 pounds, 3 ounces, I think it was. I don't know how long. I don't know why we even thought to ask that, but she is just a tiny little peanut. And unfortunately, they can't be here today because through the week, Becca has had some health challenges and has had to go back to hospital twice. So you can continue to pray for her as things continue to progress. But baby is healthy, mom is relatively healthy, but they would still covet your prayers. But then I had my cousin phones and asks if I could do the funeral on Friday, which was just last Friday. And of course, being my aunt, of course I said it would be my honor. And so I did. We had that right here. We had an opportunity to bury her and my uncle, who was still in cremains in an urn in my aunt's living room. And just a great time with family otherwise, just reminiscing over the life, the beautiful life of my auntie Doreen. And then we had a wedding reception to go to in the evening on the Friday, and we partied the night away, and just it's been one thing after another. But in the meantime, I'm saying all this to say I didn't read Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. Bonnie and I didn't get a chance to discuss it at all. So I know how those kind of breakthrough weeks can happen, and all of a sudden it gets away on you, and you come to a Sunday and you go, oh, we were given this assignment, and I'm sure that you were thinking that. But the purpose of the assignment was really to help you and me grow in our gratitude for all that God has done for us. And I know that when you are filled up with gratitude, then that gratitude will naturally drive you to fully surrender to God. I mean, it's just sort of the natural product of that. And that's when you discover your spiritual gifts. When you are filled with gratitude and God drives you to fully surrender to Him, that's when He speaks to you best and tells you when and where and how to serve. Spiritual gifts tests are good, and they are helpful, and I encourage you to do them. This 31st of August, we are doing a spiritual gifts inventory discovery night here at the church in the gym. 31st, 7 o'clock, please come. Sign up at the Welcome Center or just come. We're glad to have you come, and we'll walk you through spiritual gifts. But understand that spiritual gifts and spiritual gift inventories and workshops are really just a tool. They're really just a tool to help you approve what you have already heard from the Lord while you're fully surrendered to Him and the direction that you should go regarding spiritual gifts. Now, of course, everyone wants to know what the gifts they have are. And of course, we've learned that they're supposed to be used for the common good of the church, as the Apostle Paul told us a few weeks ago. But let's be honest. Everyone wants to know what their gifts are because, well, a supernatural empowerment is just cool. It's really cool to watch God work supernaturally in your life. But there's another reason for spiritual gifts, and one I want us to look at today. And it's equally supernatural. So to find out, let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. And as always, the text will be up here on the overhead, but there are pew Bibles. If you didn't bring a Bible, or if you don't have a Bible, please feel free to take one of those Bibles. We'd be glad that you did, and you can keep it. Hebrews chapter 2. We must pay attention. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message was spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God has also testified to it by signs and wonders and miraculous and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Did you hear that? The salvation that you and I enjoy, the great mercy that you and I have been mercifully given by Christ through the Holy Spirit is announced, notice this, first of all, by those who witnessed Jesus himself preaching the message of salvation. Two, by signs and wonders and miraculous signs. And three, by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to the Spirit's will. So, yes, spiritual gifts are given to the body of Christ for the common good of the church. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But spiritual gifts, every spiritual gift, the gift that you have, the gifts that you haven't even discovered yet, are given to you and to the body of Christ to testify and confirm the message of salvation. Notice that. Every gift has a dual purpose then. To build up the body of Christ, the church, and to testify and confirm Jesus' message of salvation to spiritually lost people. That means the gift of administration, the gift of singleness, the gift of exhortation, of faith and mercy, helps, hospitality, intercession, leadership, mercy, service, voluntary poverty, evangelism, knowledge, missionary, pastor, prophecy, teaching, wisdom, discernment, exorcism, healing, interpretation, miracles, tongues, and apostleship. Every one of those gifts have been distributed through the church by the Holy Spirit as he wills to build up the church and to testify to and confirm Jesus' message of salvation to those who are spiritually lost still. People in your own life network. How does that make you feel? If, say, you have the gift of helps or service, or if you have the gift of giving or intercession, aren't those sort of more behind-the-scenes kind of gifts? And some of you might even contest, saying, well, you know, I don't have the gift of evangelism. So how can my gifts testify and confirm Jesus' message of salvation to lost people? Well, I'm so glad you asked. From the conclusion of Jesus' earthly ministry, he gave his disciples the ongoing mandate of the Great Commission. Yeah? Every single follower of Jesus should be familiar with this commission. Actually, scratch that. Every follower of Jesus needs to be an expert on this Great Commission. If you love God and you love your neighbor, the Great Commission is where that love finds its expression most. So, I know many of you have completed the disciple makers training here at Lawson, and you know this. But every Christian should know this. It's been the Christian mandate and duty for the last 2,000 years. Listen to it from Jesus' own lips. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I will be with you always to the very end of the age." What is the Great Commission? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Essentially, the Great Commission is to get the gospel of Christ to every nation on earth by multiplying disciples and churches with obedient Christ followers. And because that's the mission of the church, of Jesus, to his body, the church, the Great Commission is every believer's job. Isn't that exciting? Some of you might think, well, that's pretty terrifying, but it's exciting. And in the same way that the Apostle Paul spoke of the nature of spiritual gifts, that everyone is indispensable to the common good of the body, so too is everyone in the Great Commission. 1 Corinthians 12, 20-22, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Every one of you are indispensable to the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. 1 Corinthians 12:27, Paul goes on to say, now you are the body of Christ, and every one of you and each of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And so, if we're all needed, if every one of us are indispensable to the task of world evangelization, then what do we do with our gifts? Even if you don't have the gift of evangelism, you are indispensable. Every gift. Apostle is, and so is service. Missionary and administration. Evangelism and helps. Pastor and intercession. Hospitality and mercy. Prophecy and singleness. Leadership and giving. Even those gifts that seem to be least or not as out front, they are as indispensable as the larger gifts. Every gift is needed in our shared witness for Jesus. So, you might be wondering, how do my spiritual gifts connect with the Great Commission? Well, I'm so glad you asked. I want to introduce you to a strategic model for local and global missions. It's a strategy, it's kind of formalized into a picture for us here, but it's a strategy that the church has roughly used for the last 2,000 years. It's called the Four Fields Model. Let me show it to you. It's right up here. It looks like that. There are four aspects to every field. Now, it helps us keep us focused. It helps keep us patient and prayerful and bold in getting the gospel into new fields. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus gives his disciples some parables of the kingdom, and in which he gives some illustrations drawn from everyday life experiences to help him make the point about the kingdom of God. In one such parable, in Mark 4, Jesus describes the supernatural workings of the gospel and the kingdom. He says this, turn to Mark chapter 4 with me. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29. He says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scattered seeds on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprout and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the seed produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. He's describing a typical planting process of an everyday farmer. Let me help work us around the four fields diagram. First of all, you'll notice in sort of phase one there is entry. You gain entry, you first cultivate the soil. You sow a lot of seed. You nurture its growth. And then you gather it all together and you send it out. And then you start the process all over again. The farmer expands, and the next year he expands his field and he invests in another field. And it just happens like this time after time, season after season. So let's walk through each field, shall we? Field one is entry. If you were a farmer in a new field and you had to plant it, the first thing that you would do is you would gain entry into that field. You would enter the field, you'd walk out into the field, and you would pray. I mean, what farmer does not pray for a good crop that year, a fruitful crop? Every farmer prays before seeding. And before seeding, you have to get the soil ready to receive the seed. You have to cultivate the soil. You have to fertilize it. You have to plan out the irrigation. And that's what we do in the first field. In field one, we gain entry. No matter if the field is to unreached people groups in somewhere in Indonesia, or a neighborhood here in Canada, or an apartment block in Saskatoon, or a social space that you frequent, like your kid's soccer team, or maybe a local coffee shop that you frequent. Every one of those is a new field. There are people there who do not know Jesus yet. If there are lost people there who don't know Jesus, they need a witness. And so we identify the field and we gain entry and we prepare the soil. And we, before we do anything, we pray. We pray, walk the field. And we identify possible barriers to growth. We pick out the rocks and we level out the ground, the rough spots. We prepare it to receive the seed well. That's phase one. That's entry. In Alliance Missions, we've always had a bit of a motto that says, we will do nothing until we have prayed. So we don't go to phase two or that second part of the field until we have saturated the field with prayer. But once we've done that, like Jesus says in Mark chapter 4, verse 26, this is what the kingdom of God is like, a man scattered seeds on the ground. So let's enter into field two, phase two, witness. After you've prepared the soil, then you sow. You scatter the seed of the gospel everywhere you can and liberally. You just get it out there. You don't always know where the seed is going to land and start to germinate, so you get the seed out as best as you possibly can. In field two or phase two, we witness, we evangelize, we share the gospel with as many people as we possibly can. And when the people start to respond to the gospel, then those new disciples will need to grow. And they're going to need disciplers. That's field three or phase three. Disciple. You'll see it in the bottom right-hand quarter. We need a lot of people who will help new believers grow and who will commit to their growth. Jesus said, go make disciples. That's an essential part of our Great Commission. Now, if you've taken the Disciple Makers course that we provide here, you know that the central, most important part of the Great Commission is not just go and make disciples, but there's a special way that we have to go. It says we need to teach disciples to obey everything Jesus said. What is a disciple who doesn't obey? Well, they're actually not really disciples if they're not obeying. They're not a follower of Jesus. They're disobedient at best, and they're not even believers at worst. So we need obedient disciples who will make obedient disciples, obedient disciple makers who will make more obedient disciple makers. Hence the t-shirt. Then, once they are being discipled, they will need to be gathered into multiplying groups and into fellowship in the church. That's field four, or phase four, multiply. And it's here that we multiply new groups and new churches. Some of those churches will be local. Some of those churches will be in houses. Some of them will be in office buildings. Some might even be in rented gymnasiums. That's how Lawson started, over there in River Heights School. You know, I believe small group Bible studies are great, and we need to have them. It's awesome getting into groups of people to pull amazing facts out of the Bible, amazing truths of God. But friends, if Bible study doesn't concentrate on multiplying new groups, then it's not fulfilling the Great Commission fully. As disciple-making movement leader Ying Kai once said, the Great Commission says, go make disciples, not stay. Not stay huddled together. It is going into unreached places to reach people with the gospel of Jesus. So if you've been a part of a small group Bible study, and I realize COVID has sort of kept us at a distance from each other and it's kept us away from small groups, but when you were in a small group, can you remember how you obeyed Jesus better as a result of what you learned? If the central, most important part of the Great Commission is obedient discipleship, it shouldn't be too hard to track that obedience in your life and in the life of the group. But the reason we find it hard to do so is because we typically are tracking the wrong things in groups and in churches. If we typically track attendance and we typically track knowledge, what we gain from the Bible. And if we learn something new about God or the gospel, then we think we've been successful in the group. We track the same things in church, but they're not the most important things to track in a group. They're not the most important parts of small group in church. Jesus tracked a different measure. He tracked obedience that multiplies, fruitfulness. That's what he calls discipleship, not just studying the Bible. So we need to refocus the way we think about the things that we do in church so that it moves us towards fulfilling the Great Commission in everything that we do. And then comes phase five. Phase five is to send. In phase five, we train and send out. We prayerfully identify women and men who have certain gifts for going to new fields and starting the process all over again. From entry to witnessing to discipling to multiplying and to sending out again. This is how new fields are reached all over the world, even to this day, for the last 2,000 years. Remember, the Great Commission is for the whole church to unify around, getting the gospel of Christ to every nation on earth. And we don't just do that by keeping everyone to ourselves. We do that by multiplying disciples and churches with obedient Christ followers, first in Saskatoon, then to the province, then to our nation, then to the world. Let me give you a little bit of a picture of what that looks like here up on the overhead. We create within the church, and this is what the Christian Missionary Alliance has done. It creates a GC or a Great Commission pipeline where we send out short-term and long-term missionaries and teams overseas, and we repeat the cycle there. We do that through our educational process at Ambrose and whatnot. We do it through a program called Envision. That's a Great Commission pipeline that we have. That's the mission of the church, folks, to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we have to be prayerful about it and strategic about it and persistently committed to that task until everyone, everywhere in the world has had a chance to hear the good news of Jesus. Amen? Not hearing a lot of amens. Steve Smith, another disciple-making movement leader, once said, "Why should we in the West have the privilege of hearing the gospel of Jesus week after week when there are people in parts of the world who've never heard the gospel even once?" Has probably been the most hard-hitting, profound statement I've heard in decades. We need to send out more. So, how can you get involved in this task? Well, I'm so glad you asked me. Let's go back to the four fields diagram, shall we? When focused, your gifts, whether it's an upfront gift or a behind-the-scenes gift, every gift contributes to the fulfillment of the Great Commission. This here is each field, and here is an abundance of gifts that can be used in each field. So in the area of entry, when we are prayerfully discerning and sending out people to prayer walk and do the hard work of cultivating the soil and getting that field ready for harvest. Again, whether it's a place in Indonesia that hasn't heard the gospel yet, whether it's an apartment block across the street, or whether it's a cafe or your soccer group, we need to have people who have these gifts to be able to utilize them in this area. The gifts of intercession, prophecy, discernment, faith, knowledge, healing, interpretation, miracles. These gifts contribute to that field being developed and made ready for the gospel of Christ, for a sowing. And then we move on to witness. And these areas here, these giftings all help to fulfill this particular calling of the church. The gift of evangelism, the gift of helps, mercy, service, voluntary poverty, knowledge, exorcism, healing, and miracles. On to discipleship, administration, exhortation, helps, pastor, teacher, hospitality, leadership, knowledge. Are you seeing any of these gifts that you have in these particular areas to help be a part of the fulfillment of the Great Commission? On to multiplying, leadership, administration, exhortation, giving, helps, hospitality, mercy, service, knowledge, pastor, teacher. Those gifts contribute to multiplying new groups and new churches everywhere. And then in the area of send, F5, leadership, administration, missionary, apostle, teacher, wisdom, exhortation. All the gifts of the Spirit can be utilized in various aspects of getting the gospel to the ends of the earth. Every gift then is indispensable, and we invite people to discover and use their gifts. Not just for in here. Remember, the gospel is go, not stay, right? We want to be able to get the gospel everywhere, so every gift is indispensable. In the area of entry, we don't just need people with the gift of intercession, even though its basis is prayer. In the area of witness, we don't need just the people with the gift of evangelism, even though that's about sowing the seed. In disciple, we don't just need people with the gift of teaching, although there is a huge teaching component to making disciples. We don't just need people with the gift of pastor in the area of multiplication to be able to pastor small groups and churches. And in the area of sending, we don't just need people with the gift of leadership in order to send people out. We need a vast array of spiritual gifts, and every one of us can be a part of this task of the Great Commission. Because lost people matter to the Lord, right? And every gift indispensably testifies about Jesus if it's done in Jesus' name. Our denomination was founded in 1887 by a man by the name of Albert Benjamin Simpson. He was a Canadian, migrated down south to the United States, primarily around New York City at the time. And he definitely had the gift of evangelism and the gift of missionary and a gift of apostleship. But in the areas that he lacked gifting, Simpson was able to draw others around him who had other gifts, gifts that he needed to be able to get the gospel to across oceans, to be able to preach the gospel to another continent, to establish a base of operations in New York City and then overseas. People with gifts that could create and publish a magazine to promote Alliance missions that went to every Alliance church. He drew gifted people around him who could create Bible schools and train disciples and do things overseas with local missionaries and pastors in training. He drew people together that had gifts that could help raise money for the cause of Christ globally. He believed that every gift was indispensable to the Great Commission, and he proved it in that we are now a fully grown Christian Missionary Alliance denomination. In his book, The School of Christ, written in 1890, Simpson said this: "Is the Great Commission not the highest consummation of any true ministry? Should it not be recognized by more of the servants of Christ as the goal to which the Master is calling them? Should not the highest talent and the richest spiritual gifts of the church be far more abundantly laid on the missionary altar? Is this not true, the true end of the church's existence, to be a witness for Christ to the uttermost parts of the earth?" So, now you may not have the apostolic gift that he had, or the gift of evangelism, or a gift of pastor or teacher, but every gift is essential to the fulfillment of the Great Commission. It is our exciting opportunity as the church in Lawson to discover and use our gifts for Jesus, for the Great Commission, for the common good of the church. Will you join me in discovering your gift, your gifts, and discover where you fit in serving his plan of salvation for the world? In his books, The School of Christ, Simpson wrote this further. He said, "Beloved, what is the message of the Holy Spirit to you? Are you ready for this missionary call? And ready to be separated from everything if necessary to fulfill it even in your home? Have you at least the missionary spirit ready to go even if never spent, and are you cherishing a sense of your responsibility to send others at least? Even if you should never be required to go overseas, will you meet the Master with innocent hands as you look in the faces of myriads who have drifted into the judgment presence crying, 'No man cared for my soul'? As much as lieth in you, are you ready to preach the gospel to the Greeks and to the barbarians? God help us to be clear of the blood of all men." Friends, that's why we encourage you to explore what kind of a missionary spirit could look like in your life as you discover your gifts. So I encourage you to go to our Spiritual Gifts Discovery Workshop on the 31st here at Lawson, 7 o'clock at night. you don't have to, I mean, sign up at the Welcome Center so I know you're coming, but so I can prepare enough materials, but just come. You know, if last minute you decide I have that night free now, just come. Even if you're afraid to know your gifts because maybe you feel insignificant. You know that that's a lie from the enemy, right? First of all, you are not insignificant. You are not dispensable. You are indispensable to the work of Christ. Even if you're afraid to know your gift because, well, who knows? Because you're afraid to use them in some way, shape, or form. But you know that fear is not of God, right? Fear is not of God. And if it's not of God, then who's it from? So we need to be bold. We need to be energetic. We need to eagerly desire spiritual gifts so that we can use them for Christ's purposes. And then complete a Christian service inventory. There's some at the usher stations as you leave. There's some at the Welcome Center that you can get and complete as well. They're online. For those of you who are online, this form that you see on the overhead, you can get this. Fill it out. It's simple. Get it back to us. And then we can know how to help you find your gifts better. Every spiritual gift matters. So complete these inventories. And a number of you have already completed the Christian service inventory, and thank you for doing that. We will get back to you when we gather them all in the fall. Friends, lost people matter to the Lord. Can you say that with me? Lost people matter to the Lord. They matter to the Lord. My gifts are indispensable to the church reaching the lost. Can you say that with me? And my gifts are indispensable to the church reaching the lost. Every spiritual gift, even your gift, testifies of Jesus and his gospel. If it is done in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit can use it. The Holy Spirit can use you because of your dependence on him to advance the gospel throughout your life network and to the ends of the earth. So even if you don't have the gift of evangelism, you are still gifted in many ways. The Holy Spirit has put a deposit in you so that you can use your gift so that others, lost people, can know Jesus. And shouldn't that be our main objective? Isn't that cool? Every gift testifies about Jesus if it's done in the name of the Lord. So here's the common good assignment for this next week. Complete your Christian service inventory. And then also sign up for the spiritual gifts discovery workshop on the 31st. It's not just for the common good of the church, it's for the advance of the gospel that we do this. And we want to enter into this fall right. We want to enter into this fall energetic and ready to be used by God in a new way. I am tired of the last year of COVID. I'm ready to work. I'm ready to get into action. And I hope that you are and that you'll join me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I call my friends today to advance with me this fall for the gospel of Jesus, for the common good of the church, your body. And Lord, as we gather together in this room today, this is a very important part of what we do in the worship of you. We take great joy in this hour and a bit that we are here together in this room because we get to glorify you and lift you up. And we're glad to be able to have the technology to allow those in their homes today glorify you along with us in this hour. But Lord, there's more to what we do as a church. And Lord, I pray that as we get ready for the fall, that we won't just get ready for school, we won't just get ready for a new fall of work and business, but we would get ready for the gospel as well. Lord, help us to see our part in this great commission and help us to be bold enough to advance in this particular way. You are a great God, and we love serving your purposes. So humbly we bow before you, and we come to you asking you to use us. And Holy Spirit, magnify your gifts in us as we eagerly desire them, because Lord, we want to bless your heart. And we want to see more and more and more people, myriads of people in Saskatoon and the world, come to faith in Jesus Christ as a result of our partnership in the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray.